A map of the 12th Congressional District resembles one of those massive twisted branches on an old oak tree. There's no Spanish moss here. However, the district meanders more than 100 miles, loosely following I-85. It covers parts of Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point, and Charlotte. The electorate is about two-thirds Democratic, and the 12th is one of two majority-minority U.S. House districts in the state.
It was created in response to the 1982 amendments to the Voting Rights Act.
Eric Heberlig teaches political science at UNC Charlotte. That amendment had one specific goal.
If you have a population of minority voters, you're essentially to maximize their opportunity to elect a representative of the same race.
Initially, the proposed 12th district stretched from Durham to Gastonia, lacking any sort of geographically defined community. White voters challenged it, saying it violated their right to equal protection. The district was redrawn several times, but ultimately, the case went before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Fundamentally, what the court finally decided was that, well, you can't draw a district merely for the purpose of racial gerrymandering, that is, drawing a district just to represent an African-American or Hispanic. But you can draw a district merely to represent a Democrat or Republican.
Democrat Mel Watt has held this seat since the district was created in the early 90s. Now, with his departure to the Federal Housing Authority, six Democratic candidates are campaigning through the sprawling 12th. George Battle is one of them.
This district doesn't constitute the heart and soul, the life of any particular community that it's in. It just takes bits and pieces and cobbles them together. So I think that's the strangest part.
Battle is general counsel for the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board. This is his first run at public office. The six Democratic candidates are all minorities. Three currently serve in the North Carolina General Assembly. One is a woman. Each is trying to navigate the landscape and build name recognition where TV ads aren't an option. Alma Adams represents Greensboro in the State House.
A media buy in the Charlotte area would be about $300,000 a week, and one in the Greensboro area, Triad area, would be about $160,000 a week. I have outraised everybody, and we're not going to be able to afford that, so we're going to reach people, direct mail. We've been knocking on thousands of doors.
Adams has served 11 terms in the State House and is known for her distinctive hats. The group of Democrats all made it to a 12th congressional forum in Winston-Salem last week, moderated by a district court judge.
Are you a politician or a public servant or both? Is it possible?
On the issues, the candidates hold similar positions. Most of them are well known in parts of the district, but not throughout. Malcolm Graham has been in the state Senate for 10 years, served on the Charlotte City Council, and managed a nonprofit organization.
I think I'm uniquely qualified to serve the residents of the 12th Congressional District. I'm prepared, I'm ready, so I'm just ready to do the job for the people.
Marcus Brandon is a third-term House representative from Guilford County. He's quick to use the word effective when describing himself.
There's nobody in the race that has that experience or those skills. I pass more bills than anybody in the race. I have the highest effective rating. We put two new schools in the district. Those are the things that I want this community to understand, that it's not about just being a voice. You have to have an effective voice.
Brandon is the only candidate who is an outspoken supporter of the private school voucher program. He is the only openly gay member of the General Assembly. There are no independent polls in this race, so it's difficult to accurately determine who is ahead and by how much. Curtis Osborne is a first-time political candidate. He says this race is still wide open.
The big thing, I think, is going to be social media. I mean, social media and pressing the flesh, getting out and talking to people and meeting people. And if the people that I meet and talk to and shake hands with, if they give me their support, then I feel confident I can at least come in second place.
The race for second place is a slight concession that Representative Adams holds the top spot. She has outraised, outspent, and outsaved her opponents. According to the latest campaign finance reports, the longtime House member pulled in more than $150,000 in the first quarter of 2014. Her closest opponent raised $65,000 during that same period. Adams also has nearly $115,000 on hand, as much as all of her opponents combined. But still, the path to the general election in November doesn't appear smooth. Again, Professor Heberlig.
Just given the number of candidates and the fact that none of them have wide name recognition across the district, I'd be really surprised if anybody got 40% of the vote.
If no candidate secures 40%, the top two vote-getters on May 6th head to a second primary. There are, of course, two Republicans seeking a path to the November election as well. But in this strongly Democratic district, neither is considered much of a contender. Heberlig estimates about 2% of registered voters will turn out in early July for that runoff. They will likely choose the next representative of the 12th. Jeff Tiberi, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.